Welcome to All Things Beer, a Pat's Pints, Mark's Mugs podcast.
I'm Pat Woodward.
And I'm Mark Richards.
Each month, we are joined by brewers, enthusiasts, and friends to explore the techniques, the culture, and the history of mankind's best invention.
So grab a beer and join us as we discover a world of all things beer. All right, we're back, and we've got a big episode here. This is an early morning episode, so we're talking breakfast stouts. We've got a very special guest. Happy to welcome Nick Decker.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So tell me which ones of these are wrong. Nick is a food writer.
Okay, that's right. Yeah.
Travel writer.
Yeah.
Nick has been writing the blog Breakfast with Nick since 2007.
Correct.
And that serves as a reference manual for me to select my breakfast.
Good. That's the intention.
Great. Has for years. He introduced me to the Dutch baby.
Wait a minute. What's a Dutch baby?
Exactly. I mean, you can insert your Austin Powers gold member jokes anywhere you want in this part.
Right. Yeah, baby.
A Dutch baby is kind of like a pancake you make best in a cast iron skillet.
Yeah, it's okay. Baked.
So you kind of get your batter all ready. You put it in and it rises huge, but then it collapses and it's got a very custard-like kind of texture and exactly flavor, real eggy.
Oh, okay.
It's actually amazing. You can talk with fruit. I know at the original Pancake House, you can get it. I mean, I think you got to take a second mortgage out on your car to get it there.
To get breakfast there. Yeah. Not many places do it because it has to be baked fresh, and it usually takes about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
The Table used to do it in Short North. They're gone.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, they are gone.
Yeah, I think the original Pancake House is the only place left
last
in town
place,
that does
so,
it,
yeah,
aside from my kitchen regularly. So,
And it's so fun to make a home, too. Yeah. I mean, it's cool
and
to see
easy
how big they get and then how they collapse into this dense, eggy custard.
And just like French toast did not originate in France, Dutch babies are not Dutch. They did not come from the Netherlands. Some people call them a German pancake. I think it's a little more German in origin.
Okay. Nice. All right. Well, you know.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
What? Sorry. You're also a freelance writer for a number of periodicals. My father always read you in the Dispatch.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I still crop up there once in a while.
I don't even know if they print that rag anymore. I know online they always hit me with the paywall immediately.
Yeah. Yep.
I get it every day.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go. One old man left
Thanks
in the world.
Thanks for keeping us going.
Even my dad doesn't get the paper version anymore.
Wow.
Okay. Columbus Monthly, Ohio Magazine, Experience Columbus. Some that have closed down over the years and are alive. I kind of miss the alive.
RIP. Yeah, I really miss that too.
As an old man that likes to touch paper, like I was just like grabbing that at whatever
record
store
Thursday,
or coffee shop
in
I was
stands.
In. Yeah. And then you're doing something with Art Council here in Columbus.
Yeah, so I actually have a day job. I don't quite do the food travel writing full time, but I'm on the marketing team for the Greater Columbus Arts Council. That's not quite full time, so the other part of it is food travel. So arts and culture, food and travel together.
Okay, and we recently found out native Michigander.
Yeah,
to Michigander. The That's home of founders.
Yeah, Grand Rapids, Michigan, born and bred.
That brings us up to breakfast outs right there, I think. Then.
Yeah, it's in my DNA to love breakfast and to love Founders beer, apparently. So.
Well, we've got the right guy. We've got the right expert for this small
I'm
but
the right
important
Venn diagram.
Yes,
like,
that's right. That's right. Yeah, I mean, we couldn't do any better. Even if we got somebody from Founders, it wouldn't be better.
Now, Pat, are we allowed to open a beer yet?
Yeah, I think we could open a beer.
Yes!
I think it's past 10 a.m. here, so.
All right. Well, our first beer is actually not going to be a Founders beer. But we are going to go up close to the Michigan border. You know, we're on the Ohio side, so we have a little Buckeye pride, and we're going to have the Total Eclipse Breakfast Stout from Mommy Bay.
Oh, and Mommy Bay is about to have a total eclipse here another month or so, right?
That's right. I think they're in the path.
Well, I figured it would be an appropriate beer given, you know, the timing of the release of this podcast.
Sure.
Also, this beer goes back to 2010, and Mommy Bay has been around for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Without further ado, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
All right. Nice. Mommy Bay.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Ooh, that's very nice.
Have you guys had this one before?
I have, yeah.
Well, as a point of comparison between the Founders Breakfast Stout and the Total Eclipse Breakfast Stout, this one is 9.1% ABV and 31 IBUs. It's made with espresso beans, oatmeal, and lactose.
All right.
Now, the Founders Breakfast Stout is going to be 8.3%.
Smaller.
Yeah. 60 IBU, so twice the bitterness, actually.
Okay.
Made with flaked oats, nugget and Willamette hops, bitter chocolate, and two types of coffee.
Okay, no lactose.
No lactose, but chocolate.
Chocolate.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the difference, yeah.
Okay. No maple syrup in this yet?
Not yet. Okay. We'll get there before the end of the day. So, Nick, as the expert, what makes something a breakfast stout as opposed to just
a regular stout? I don't know. Is it any stout you drink in the morning or something? Is that
it's valid count? Pretty much any stout can be a breakfast stout.
From my knowledge, it's usually the addition of those extra ingredients. I don't know if it's standard, but I always think of oatmeal or oats, which makes it kind of nice and smooth. And then usually the coffee or chocolate sets it apart.
No, I think I would agree with that. Almost all the breakfast stouts are what I would call imperial oatmeal stouts with coffee.
Yeah,
that's a good way to say it.
And then almost always with some adjuncts, although there is some variation in the other adjuncts that you might find. Here we've got chocolate in one and lactose in another. Mm-hmm, sometimes, of course, maple syrup, we just mentioned. Vanilla shows up.
Oh, vanilla?
Sometimes,
I'm not so fond of the lactose in an IPA, but in this, it's like the cream for the coffee.
Yeah, that sort of milk sweetness. Yep.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah. It's, I think, justifiably something I could see sipping a small mug of this in the morning. I mean, it's like having your cup of coffee, but just with a little bit of zing to it.
Well, yeah, beer. It's not just for breakfast anymore.
That's what they say.
Now, can you remember the first time you had breakfast stout? Probably the Founder's Breakfast Stout, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think that was my introduction to it. I know early 2000s, like 06, 07, was when I started on my craft beer journey as a young man. It was amongst some friends and then my older brother, who still lives in Grand Rapids. We were the ones who, we were like recording all of our beers on Beer Advocate and subscribed to the magazine and stuff. So I think it was sometime around then is when I first had Founder's Breakfast Stout.
Okay.
And I remember liking that. And then that was back when KBS wasn't so available. So March 15th, KBS Day, was this like holy day on the calendar every year.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. It used to be so hard to get, right?
I remember one year, and I can't remember what year this was, maybe 06 or 07. We were living in Ohio at the time, but we went back home for the weekend, and it coincided with that. And I remember my brother and I went to the Founder's Tap Room. And that's when you could walk in and they had a 2-case maximum per person. Hard to find, but you could still walk in and get 2 cases. And I remember us sitting there in the tap room at the table, and everyone around the tap room on the floor had their 2 cases of KBS. Because you just walk in and get it. And then the next year, we're like, oh, we're going to go do it again. And then all of a sudden you show up and it's 10 a.m. and they're like, oh, we're sold out already.
Oh, wow.
And it's like that was the year that it hit. And all of a sudden people lined up and then they started having to ticket it and, you know, became sort of like a mini like Dark Lord day where you had to control the flow and, and everything.
Wow. Yeah, let's fast forward about 10 years. Yeah. I was kind of frustrated because it's always so hard to get, used to be so hard to get down here in Columbus. Yep. You know, I go to the store when I get off work. Okay, no, it's all gone. Yep. You had to like follow the delivery truck around.
Yep.
So one year for business, I was at the Michigan State University up in East Lansing, and it happened to be release day of KBS. So I'm like, well, I'm going to drive over to Grand Rapids and get some. For sure I could get some in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, of course, go to the source.
And I couldn't. I still couldn't get any KBS. And I went to like multiple stores. I mean, I couldn't get it at Founders. So now, fast forward to 2024, I just go down to the Kroger.
Right? Yeah,
get it. Yeah,
you'll be casually shopping for groceries, and you're like, "Oh, maybe we should grab some KBS too." There's a whole, there's an end cap full of it.
Yeah.
So it's Well, I mean, a lot of things have changed in the beer world, but that would be one of them.
Yeah.
Now I was researching a little bit, like, you know, the history of this beer when I was getting ready for it, and I think the Founder's Breakfast Stout probably goes back to the late 90s, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was amongst their early portfolio. Right.
That kind of takes us back a few episodes when we were talking to Rick Arman about the, you know, when coffee beers started.
Yeah.
And Rick's like, well, maybe that was Buzz Beer on the Drew Carey show, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So I've done a little bit of research on this.
We found out it wasn't actually true, but we love Rick anyway.
Yeah.
But it's pretty close to true because the first coffee beers I could find were the New Glarus Coffee Stout, 1994.
Not in Cleveland.
Dogfish Head Chicory Stout, 95.
Oh, also not in Cleveland. Yeah.
And the Red Hook Double Black Stout in 1995.
Far away from Cleveland.
Okay. Now, then I was reading an interview with Jeremy Kosmicki, who was the head brewer for a long time. And he said he was really influenced by the Red Hook Double Black Stout.
Interesting.
And also Bell's made a beer called Java Stout.
Oh, yeah.
So he was really digging these coffee beers. And then Young's Double Chocolate Stout.
Oh, sort of a classic one from the UK.
There was a time when I was a kid. I really loved that. Man.
And that kind of gave him the idea, like the Reese's peanut butter cup moment, like, oh, chocolate, coffee, oatmeal stout.
Put these all together.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think back in the day when founders started with their barrel aged stuff, under Grand Rapids, there's all these old gypsum mines, mm-hmm. which anyone who grew up there, I remember like the kindergarten like day trip where you go take an elevator down the shaft and stuff. Those were used for computer like data storage and for aging beers because
okay.
it's a consistent temperature. Yeah. I'm sure they've outgrown that now. They're so big, but that's where they used to age it, like in the
that's
old
cool.
mines underneath Grand Rapids.
Yeah, that is a cool story. No, I think maybe they still do, but I did read
okay.
that they have dedicated barrel aging.
Yeah,
facility.
There's a whole, like they still have their tap room in downtown Grand Rapids. And then just like a few blocks outside of it, there's a huge, it was like an old train yard and it looks like a depot that they've taken over that. And that's a big production facility now.
Well, you know, you could also have food in the morning for breakfast, and
oh.
we've got some food,
oh,
don't
yeah.
we?
Beer and donut pairings, that's kind of a popular thing at
oh,
breweries
yeah.
for quite some time.
Nick, you're also an expert on donuts.
I was going to say, I think yeah. we need a little something to eat here with these.
I would agree.
What donuts should we start with? The donuts, by the way, are from Buckeye Donuts.
Mm. These are all from Buckeye Donuts, and Nick's wearing the shirt today.
Yeah,
I'm
representing. I feel like we should start with the signature Buckeye Donut, a little bit of chocolate
that
peanut
makes
butter.
Sense. Yeah.
I
good
think
call.
That'll go nicely. For so, the straight up breakfast stout.
We're doing a wishbone pull on that.
That's right.
And for people who might not be from the Midwest or from Ohio mm-hmm. and want to know what a Buckeye is, what is in a Buckeye donut?
I mean, it's the classic combination of peanut butter and chocolate.
Right.
So yeah. if you ask Jason, who's one of the donut finishers on the weekend, he'll tell you that he suggested, hey, we should do a Buckeye donut for years to the owner, Jimmy Bruxas. And Jimmy kept kind of putting him off. I don't know if we should. And then, according to Jason, one day Jimmy's wife said, hey, you guys should do a Buckeye donut. And Jimmy says, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. So
we're
Jason
come up
says,
with that.
So Jason says, anytime I want something done, I just tell Nora and then she'll tell Jimmy to do it.
You could classify there's cake donuts and yeast donuts.
And yeast donuts, yeah.
Right? And so
yep.
this one is a yeast donut?
Yeah, this is yeah. one of their yeast shells. And then they slather some chocolate and a little bit of peanut butter.
It's good.
In the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll often bring these to my work, and I have to get extras of these because those will be the first ones to go.
Yeah, they
everyone
go quick.
Goes for the
you know,
donuts.
Down at Land Grant, we got the open always that we actually put the donuts in the mash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we always eat a lot that day.
Oh, man.
These have been in my house for 2 hours longer than you guys have had access to them. So I'm right into that Boston cream. That's going nice.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they call a baker's dozen, right? That's 13. That's an
yeah.
extra donut. But I don't know. What do they call one with one or two less, Mark? Because I think that's what we found when
Mark's
we got here.
House.
A Mark's dozen.
The Mark's dozen.
That's right. I'm not ashamed.
It's the donut tax.
Yeah, we could also, we'll just call Mark's house because Joan might have slipped into that box a couple times.
Hey, so. If she was smart, she would absolutely go for it.
Now, before we get too far off of donuts, I mean, what are some other great donut places here in Central Ohio?
Mm.
So I can make an argument and have kind of had this argument whether DK Donuts or Buckeye are my favorite.
Yeah.
It kind of depends on the donut, especially having a couple here. Like, they don't have the Buckeye Donut.
Right.
Yeah, DK. The peanut one's really good here.
Yeah, this is like an unsung hero, the peanut one.
I have to say, almost every time when I go in, I get the peanut cake donut. Mm. Yeah, that's my favorite.
That's great.
Yeah,
I got that one for you, Pat.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
mentioned it in prep for this.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd agree. I think DK Diner, I put them in Buckeye as my two favorites.
Yeah, and it's hard to split.
Yeah.
Yeah. It
they
depends
each do
on the
their
style.
Own thing really well. I've become a big fan of Rose Dough Donuts. They're relatively new.
Oh, where's that?
So they don't have a storefront. They work out of 1400 Food Lab. Usually you pre-order and you pick it up. I think they're going to start doing more farmers markets and stuff. But
okay.
She uses a really good brioche dough and does some really creative stuff. Great seasonal flavors. She makes these really good crawlers and old fashions and stuff. So
we've got a couple nearby here that I don't think if you just make a yeast rice donut and then just put a bunch of candy on it, that's like a...
That's, yeah.
I'm kind of out on that style.
Yeah,
I'm a little,
same here.
Bit of a classic guy on that.
Yep. I mean, there's a bunch of those and there's a number of chains that do that too, where they just fry one basic type of donut and then, you know, you dip anything in Fruity Pebbles and it's going to taste like Fruity Pebbles, but there's not a lot of finesse to it.
All this talk about donuts and beer reminds me of, did you guys ever try the Voodoo Donuts Rogue beers? Do you remember those?
I think
they came
tried
in the pink
that
bottles.
Years ago. That's right.
Yeah.
I've been to Voodoo Donuts. Have you?
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
out in right Portland. By the keep Portland weird.
Go to the original one. It's just all scratched up and
I mean, I went there. I was in town for a conference, and we had been at a brewery or two, and it was probably 10 o'clock at night, but man, we had to wait in line.
Oh, yeah, it's such a touristy thing to do. Plus, the locals are there too.
Yep.
Anyway, I don't think that was a great idea. I did have the land grant up all night.
That I like. Open Oys. Yeah. It's not too sweet.
Which is a smart way to do it. Helps. Yeah. Because that could get, those types of beers can get really heavy really quickly.
They can, yeah. So it's a little more quaffable, sure.
Yep.
Well, this is another Michigan brewery.
The big reveal.
Uh-huh. I've got a can, a 16-ounce can of Jolly Pumpkin Strawberry Rhubarb Bambic.
Oh, man. Maybe we should have got a couple jellies. I didn't get any jellies, I don't think. Did I?
You know, but in a way, it fills in the missing parts in your brain.
Yeah.
Right? You've got the donut part, and you don't need the jelly in the donut
because you're getting
the
fruit. Yeah, because that'll bring it there.
It's going to take a lot more than that to fill in the missing pieces of my brain.
Well, of course, Jolly Pumpkin is another venerable Michigan brewery and a great one.
Without a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I get my nose in this, it is really very lambic-y.
Yeah, I'm going for that sour cream glaze on this one, I think. Or maybe the stick.
Okay. I'm going to try the peanuts.
What's the difference between the stick donut and the sour cream glaze? Because they're basically the same all the way around, except for the other one's a little darker.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
I think it's just the shape, as far as I know. I wonder if it fries a little differently when it's in a stick versus the circle.
I love both so much.
Yeah. That's when you know when you can find a donut place that does the basics and does them really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like, testing a brewery based on
this. By getting the Pilsner.
Yeah, exactly. To see how are they really showcasing what they do and not just hiding their mistakes behind cereal and...
M&M donuts. Don't need them.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to do the classics, right? You got to get the foundation correct before putting the other stuff on it even makes any sense.
Yeah.
And when that donut box comes to work... And you get the first one out versus that one that you regretfully get at like 4 p.m. because there's still one left.
Yep.
There's a huge difference in quality. That's,
it really does change how you
respond
to it. I mean,
they really do need to be day of, fresh.
That's the thing that I enjoy about so many breakfast foods in general is that a lot of them, they don't make great leftovers. So it's a very like in the moment meal. I mean, like reheating scrambled eggs is just...
You're not doing that.
No. That doesn't happen. So there is something that's kind of nice that's like, you have, without being too philosophical, you have to be present for your breakfast.
That's right. About the only thing would be maybe bagels can keep two or three days.
Yeah, see some of your baked goods or, you know...
But that's about it. Yeah. Dutch baby, you got to have that second it's out of the pan.
Yeah. Hash browns, home fries, those don't last.
And what beer would you have with a Dutch baby?
It can work really well with the sour pat, you know, with the fruity element.
Yep.
Yeah, this is a good beer. I mean, it's really got that kind of lambic character, but not over the top, you know, not terribly fruity. I mean, it is fruity, but it's certainly the strawberry and rhubarb are pretty subtle, but goes well with donuts. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is a very good pairing. I'm having it with the peanut one. Mm-hmm. That's nice getting something a little salty to go with this.
That's almost like a gosa
kind
of in that sense.
Exactly.
I've thought for a long time, and we do this at my household sometimes, but a good breakfast beer, not necessarily donuts, but just breakfast, is something like a Berliner Weisse.
Mm.
Yeah. And you can even do a Berliner Weisse with orange juice.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
make like a mimosa.
Like basic, a mimosa, yeah.
Yeah. It's effervescent, like champagne. You know, it's, of course, low ABV, which depends on what your plans are for the day. But that's not always a bad idea, right? You know, you can't have 9%, 12% beer every
first
morning.
First thing in the morning.
I mean, some mornings, a special day like today. But, you know,
Pro-level brunch tip right there.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. But I like thinking through what are some lighter offerings as opposed to defaulting a breakfast beer has to be a big, heavy monster stout.
Nick, what would you say about the best places in Columbus to get brunch?
Well, I have a number of favorite places. It honestly depends what you're in the mood for. I tend to lean more towards, I guess, what you traditionally call breakfast over brunch.
Okay.
Our favorite, which is topping all of our lists right now, is a Joyous Cafe in Old Worthington.
That's a good one. Now, the torture stools leave a lot to be desired. They don't want you hanging out long.
Yeah, the counter seats are, they can be a little tight sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I were just there yesterday for lunch.
It's next level.
Yeah. Chef Avishar, I think he's one of our best chefs. What I really love about his food is it's very playful. There's always something that, you know, technique-wise is obviously expert level, But there's always something very approachable, and there's always a sense of him having fun with what he's making.
Yeah.
And those have become some of my favorite places, when you can tell the chef has a little bit of a sense of humor about it. And each one of the ingredients that goes into even a simple breakfast sandwich, he does his cottie roll, which has ground lamb and there's eggs in
that. Love it.
That's the one that he beats so Bobby good. Flay with on his show.
Mm-hmm.
Take something that could just be a breakfast sandwich and elevates it a little bit and makes it just really fun to eat. My wife got a picture of me the first day Joya's was open. It was during the farmer's market and they quietly opened, and I was texting her furiously like, wait, there's people inside. She's like, go inside and get food. So,
yeah.
But she got a picture of me taking my first bite of the breakfast sandwich, and it nice. Was like a man having a love affair here with this
so good.
Sandwich. So we really love his stuff. You know, we have a lot of good diners. We mentioned Tommy's Diner. I think mm-hmm. that's one of our best, like, not fancy, but
stock
just
standard diner.
Well,
just
well
what
done.
You want. Yeah.
You know, great service and bunch of hardworking people there. That's one of our favorites. I mean, everyone talks about it, but Fox and the Snow Cafe, mm-hmm. we'll find any excuse to,
oh, that's
to go there.
Level yeah. stuff there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, their egg sandwich, again, with breakfast sandwiches, that has no right to be that good. You know,
and it's so unique, like from yeah. the bread to the way that egg is.
Yeah.
Like,
the
it's almost like
egg.
Sushi egg.
Yep.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. The story that Lauren and Jeff, who own it, Lauren said that came about because they used to, when they lived in Brooklyn, they used to host brunches for people. And she said, it's a pain in the butt to sit there and fry a bunch of eggs.
Sure.
And she said, she learned, you know, if you just souffle a big thing of eggs, then you cut it into squares.
Yeah.
Then it's all done. And so that's what they use for the egg sandwich.
It's got a nice appearance. I remember they were yeah. selling pins down there. Like,
yeah, that like looks like the breakfast sandwich. Yeah. I think all their pastries are really good. They do some seasonal ones. They do a tomato tart in the summer that is
okay.
just next level.
Yeah.
That is really fantastic.
I've never had a bad anything there.
No, I same thing. And
yeah.
I feel like they could build a dozen of those. I've talked with Jeff, the owner, and he's asked me about, like, hey, do you think this would be good for a spot?
Yeah.
Do you think people come here? And I just, like, Jeff, if you build it, they will come.
I think there's, like, what, four now?
Yeah, they're up to four. Yep. And they mentioned the last time we were chatting with them, they mentioned specking out 5 and 6.
So okay, cool.
They obviously
okay.
wouldn't say where, but they're at least.
I mean, it doesn't matter where they're at.
No.
They'll do well.
No. My wife she's the tourism director for Worthington, and anytime a building opens up in Worthington, no matter what it is, she texts them and says, hey, look what's okay. hitting the market.
Oh, yeah.
Please build one within steps of our house.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go sleeper hit here.
Hmm.
The Westerville Pancake House. It's on.
Yeah, the little one on Schrock Road.
Schrock.
Yes.
The tiniest
yep.
restaurant you're going to enter.
Yeah.
And they've got some chorizo items that are.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So they operate that one, and then they have one on Powell Road in Lewis Center
yep.
that's a little bigger. I put that in, like, maybe one of my top 10 breakfasts. Their pancakes are good.
I would too. Yeah. It's weird how pale their pancakes
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
Batter
you. Yeah. Did you, like,
pan?
You just lightly flipped
it? But
they're
so perfect.
Yeah. They do I think it's a cinnamon roll one that's
okay.
one of my favorites. It's a sugar bomb. I mean, you eat one of those and you should have some, you know, protein along with it, basically. But and then they do a lot of Venezuelan breakfasts too.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. the family is Latin American. So
yeah, it's wow. great okay. spot. Yep. Great yep. spot. That's a hidden gem.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people even know yep. that's there. So
good
search
call.
That out on Schrock.
Yep. And it's been around for a while before they took it over.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a okay diner, and then
yeah.
they took it over.
Yeah, it's elevated
it's
now.
It's much better. Yeah.
Now I know for a while when I would go around with Mark, he must have went months and months without paying for a beer. When you go into a breakfast spot, is like always breakfast on the house
oh.
for you?
We do. You know, it's funny. We do some invited stuff. I think some of what I would do would fall under the category of influencer.
Uh-huh.
Really try not to
agree.
Use that word.
Yeah.
So, which, you know, that like, whatever you think of the term, I think we fit the category.
You influence
so.
Me right now. You know,
see,
I mean, come on.
Yeah. You guys influence me on beers to try. I will admit, we have a good relationship with Buckeye Donuts, so it's been a while since we've paid for donuts there.
Okay,
but,
no, that's cool. Okay.
But we always try to tip them really well because they're very generous. So, yeah, occasionally we get to try some extra stuff or someone recognizes me, whatnot. I don't make a big deal. I don't like walk in. I'm like, Nick is here, everyone.
Nick is here.
Sure. Yeah.
Where's
yeah.
my red carpet?
Oh, yeah. Now I've got to say, and how many kids do you have?
Two. We have two boys.
Two. There's sometimes I look at your photo shoot and I think, does he have a dozen people with him? Like, how can right. anybody on earth eat that much breakfast?
Right.
It's like you get sometimes. Half
yeah, we
the
get
menu,
a mix of things.
You, know, you
yeah.
really do.
Well, when you have a teen who eats for like three
okay,
people.
Okay, that helps. So
yeah.
he's three
yeah.
of those
yeah.
plates. Okay.
And we do often go with groups because that way you can try a bunch of things
yeah.
and stuff. So I take lots of pictures of things and I'll usually, we do like kind of schedule, plan some things out of like what goes on Instagram
okay.
and whatnot. Sometimes it's more off the cuff. But they're definitely, it's not always like in chronological order. So I've had people ask me, they're like, is your, like, have you seen your doctor this week? Cause it looks like you ate at like six burger places in the space of 36 hours. And have to explain, okay, that one was from 2 weeks ago. This one was from last month. Yeah.
You can always sit at the counter and just get a shot of every plate as it's going by.
Yeah, we've done that too. Yeah, you see people like expediting stuff and things coming out, and it's fun to showcase that.
All right. Well, those are some good tips. That'll keep people busy for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
Although, I see some barrel-aged beer over
there.
Back
to the beer.
I'm going to stand it.
You guys keep talking.
It's like enough about this food.
I'll get the, I'll get our glasses ready again. Okay, so now we're getting into the heavy hitters here. Right? This is the Founders KBS, the original Imperial Stout aged in bourbon barrels, 12% ABV. And I'm trying to see, you brought two different vintages. What year is this one?
Let's see.
22.
Which I found from KBS, Kosmicki posted something about, hey, you should drink your KBS within like a year, was his official recommendation. I think the oldest one I had, I saved for like 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
And it still tasted good. It was a little flat.
Did it taste good?
Okay.
Exactly.
Thank you, Mark, for forcing me to clarify.
That's one of the most biggest misnomers of the industry.
Yeah.
That large beers that have already been aged need aged more.
Right.
They would not have put it in the bottle if it wasn't what they thought was going to be perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what they want you to
They
drink
are
right
tasting
now.
This every week and going, oh, we're almost there. We're almost there. And then you say, nah, put in a closet for 5 years.
I'm going to forget it for a while. I think the oldest one I drank that was probably 8 or 9 years, since like 2007, I think.
Uh-huh.
KBS has been my traditional New Year's Eve beer. I always crack one open because that was the first time I ever tasted one. My brother gave me a bottle and I saved it for New Year's Eve 07. But the oldest one I saved was New Year's Eve 2019. So maybe it was me that ruined 2020 for us by drinking an overly aged. I started the year by drinking an overly aged KBS.
That's great.
And it just, you know, I'm sorry, everyone.
Can't blame that all on you. Come on. Our friend Chris, who's been on a podcast multiple times, he's notorious for having verticals.
Yeah.
Where you're like, man, where you been hiding all these?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. That takes some discipline.
It does.
Yeah. My favorite story of a beer that I shared was in 2007, I bought Stone Brewing. It was their, I think, like 11th anniversary beer that they released that year. And it just kept sitting in the cellar and sitting in the cellar. And I'd been teaching at OSU. And 7 years later, my contract was ending and I was applying for other jobs. And I pulled that beer out of the cellar and I said, this will be my celebration beer when I get my next job. And I applied for other stuff at OSU, applied for other things. And eventually it came to a point where I hadn't gotten any other job. I started doing tours for Columbus Food Adventures. I'd done more freelance writing and we were having this party with friends. And I said, hey, I think it's time to drink this beer as the celebration of like, this is what I'm meant to be doing and stuff. And so we busted it out. The beer still tasted pretty good. It was a little flat. But that night, a friend of mine was like, hey, did you hear the Arts Council is hiring? And then I applied like the next day and ended up getting the job at the Arts Council.
Wow,
so it was this little bit of serendipity is when I finally decided to drink the celebration beer.
Perfect.
Was like when I found the new job, essentially. So
I can tell you this German chocolate donut with barrel aged, it's pretty much where it's at. And it turns the bitterness in the stout into like cocoa bitterness.
Mm.
It really does kind of change it with that sweetness in your mouth.
Mm. Yeah, I'm having the Boston cream or the donut with the custard filling.
Filling.
Yeah, that also goes really nicely with this beer.
They call it custard filling at Buckeye. I've always called those Boston cream.
Yeah, Boston cream, Bavarian cream. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the same thing.
But, which is a great donut in and of its own right. And it's a perfect pairing for this beer.
This is great. I agree. It does. It mellows out a little bit of that bitterness in the beer.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll just have to. Every New Year's Eve, I'll have to drink a KBS and have a Buckeye donut along with it.
Now, one of the, I don't know if you would call it a misnomer. One of the things, at least I thought initially, is I thought, KBS is just breakfast stout aged in bourbon barrels, but that's actually not quite
right. It's a different recipe. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. They bulked it up. I was reading a bit more about it. And I guess initially, when they did barrel aging, they just put the breakfast stout.
That was just the breakfast stout.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they're like, we could do better than that. So let's bump it up. Because this is 12% where the breakfast stout is 8.3%.
Yeah.
You're not getting 4% off of the barrels.
No. Right.
Or if you did, it would be so
A quarter full.
There's something wrong with those barrels. That's leaching too much.
I get a lot of vanilla off this. I wonder if that's all from the wood or from the...
I bet it's from the wood. You know, I think that's really... For me, that's my favorite thing about aging in bourbon barrels is when you get a lot of those vanilla notes.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yep. Also the bourbon, you can detect it, but it's not too strong.
Yeah.
That's a thing. Yeah. Sometimes the barrel-aged beers, there's too much spirits.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're using that to kind of cover your tracks. I'm sure there are better or even more accomplished barrel-aged stouts than this. But I think for me, it being the hometown beer has a lot of memories attached to it. There is a distinctive smell, at least to me, to Founders beers that like I could stick my nose in one of them and say, that came from Founders.
Okay, so, yeah.
I mean, you walk in the tap room and that same smell kind of resonates with me.
So Nick, as a longtime aficionado of Founders beers yeah. and the breakfast outs, here's a question to you. Of course, we know Ooh. Founders has been through various changes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So they now are owned primarily by Mahou, this Spanish
company.
And yep. then I just read that recently, maybe last year, actually also Avery came into that portfolio. So Founders and Avery are, well, I guess probably mostly owned by Mahou now. And of course, we just talked about how hard it used to be to get KVS and now how it's pretty readily available. Do you think that the beer has changed at all?
That is a good question. I can't say that I have the best nose for beer, but it's tasted pretty consistent to me, even as it's become much more prolific. It certainly has lost some of the thrill of the hunt. To me, that's balanced by the fact that like one of my favorite beers I can get much more readily. And it doesn't just have to be a special occasion thing. So to me, it's seemed pretty consistent. At least my experiences going back to the tap room and having their other beers too. It certainly, I mean, distribution has grown quite a bit, but their quality to me has stayed pretty consistent, which I appreciate.
Well, it's definitely a treat to get this, though. I know. Such a good beer.
Do you two, I'm curious, do you have early memories of like kind of favorite discoveries or first like early craft beer memory of the first time of like, oh, I've read about this beer, I've heard about it, and then the first time you found it?
That's a pretty good question. I don't know that I'm totally prepared for it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of beers.
Yeah. I can share one of mine I remember is Hop and Frog when they did Boris.
Okay.
And you couldn't really find it around here. And I remember reading about it in Beer Advocate. And I heard on some other podcast where the guys drank it. And I was like, I got to find this beer. And then we were at Spaggio Cellars. And we were with some friends drinking wine. And I turned around and I was like, that's a bottle of Boris in the thing. And it was this like, oh my gosh, guys, I found it. Like I bought it and drank it. And I remember that like initial thrill of like, I read about this beer and here it is.
Yeah. I mean, everything's so readily available now, but
that's the thing. You don't get that as much.
Yeah. I'd probably say Russian River, like getting Pliny's for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, going to the pizza pub that's in Santa Rosa. Mm. You know, I had never had them. Yeah. And definitely not a fresh one.
Yeah. I still have never tried that beer. I've had friends that have brought it back and I've never had a chance to taste it.
Yeah. It's just not really readily available unless somebody's been traveling, you know.
And of course, these days, and it's still a great beer, but it's not as unique as it once was.
Yeah,
exactly. But at that time,
definitely was.
Big hoppy beers were all the rage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess a couple stick out to me maybe now that I've had a bit of chance to think about it. I mean, I remember driving back from Idaho, where my family lives, to back to Ohio and stopping off in Munster at Three Floyds.
Floyds.
The first time I'd had a zombie dust, which was, you know, lived up to its billing, I would say.
I remember one trip you came back and you brought a bunch of Toppling Goliath, and that's a pretty well sought off beer that you couldn't get around here.
Actually, that was the same trip I drove through.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I had to go a long way out of my way to go to Decorah, Iowa.
Yeah.
It's not that obvious of a place.
Then
from there, I went up to New Glarus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then I went down to Three Floyds. You know, it's not the fastest way to go across the country, but it was definitely worth it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you stopped at three. I was just going to say, this is going to be a really long podcast.
Right.
Pat lists every brewery between Idaho and Ohio.
And on this trip, we drove to these five places. But it is back to that like thrill of the hunt type of thing that I do kind of miss that. And I think it was about this time last year, I finally went to Granville Brewing to their little tap room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I remember driving there and there was that feeling of like, oh man, this little like weirdly located tiny tap room. And it's like, it brought back memories of like Four String and theirs. And when you guys mentioned this. Yeah. That old one where they pulled up some ratty couches and put some kegs inside a cooler and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of cool to go to those little hole in the wall breweries that are just tiny operations and not so many of them around anymore
No,
they do a weekly FERC in there too, right, at Granville?
They do.
Yeah.
I gotta make it out there. All right, we're moving into the Grand Poobah here, the Founders CBS weighing in at 11.7 percent ABV, barrel-aged imperial stout, brewed with chocolate and coffee, then aged, and then with maple syrup. And with that, we've got the maple bacon donut from Buckeye Donut. So this is a pretty decadent way to finish.
Oh, yeah. But I have to say, for an 11.7% beer, this is super smooth, right? You know, I remember the first time I tried the KBS, and it, for sure it comes through on these beers and the CBS. Yeah. It's just how velvety smooth the mouthfeel is, right? Yeah. You know, and how, even though it's very strong, it's not harsh.
Yeah.
I always find the fourth upward to 10% beer I have is a little smoother than the first when I get to the fourth one. Yeah.
That's fair.
It is smooth, though.
Mm-hmm. And I always say kudos to them that I've had other beers aged in maple syrup barrels that come out tasting just like maple syrup. And this one always just has a nice little sweet edge to it. And this goes remarkably well with a little bit of salty bacon from this donut.
I'm going in. Pat just went in for bites over there moaning. We've got maple, basically icing, for lack of a better term. We get the cream oozing out from where I cut it. And we've got bacon as if it was just fried out of the skillet, crispy looking in a raised long donut.
Yep.
Is this called a Long John, by the way? A maple Long John? Is that the correct terminology?
Yeah, Long John, Bismarck, some people call them that.
Okay.
I think they call them Long Johns at Buckeye Donuts. Mm. And Jimmy has said he's had people come in and take pictures of the donut and then not buy anything.
So. Oh, man. Wow. They should charge a photo fee.
Yeah, there you go. And he did say, to your point, Mark, that they make a point to make sure the bacon is nice and crispy. And it's whole strips of bacon. There's a lot of places that will do like bacon bits or crumbled bacon.
I think some time of the day, maybe you would go, if they didn't have crisp bacon available, you would only be able to get this.
Yep. I've definitely been there when it's not on the menu.
I mean, they're taking a lot into consideration on freshness.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, the crispy bacon, that's key, right?
I mean, I think
had versions of these some places where the bacon isn't that crispy. And
actually,
that's kind of gross.
And then you start wondering, like, is this undercooked? Like, am I going to get sick from this donut?
I'm not sure how you could take a photo of this and leave. So good.
Oh, and then not eat it.
Yeah.
What is that?
And I was impressed years ago. I was in there for a tour, thinking of like the cream that's on the inside. Is a lot of that they make from scratch. I think a lot of times, even I assume that like, oh, they just have boxes of stuff that comes in. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they had a mixer going, and Jimmy said, oh, no, that's the cream filling.
Old school. So I love it.
Yeah. You know, given how campus has changed around them, they've had to fight the good fight to stay in business. And I think they own their building, which has really helped them that campus partners can't come along and kick them out and stuff.
Well, I do think this is a perfect pairing, especially for this podcast. And I mean, to sit here and ooh and ah and describe, I think just the label I read and in describing the donut, it just all speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Everything I just said, that's what we're experiencing. It's very good.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question about this beer. I kind of vaguely remember, and then I went back and looked online. I could find some things back from 2019. They said, okay, when we're releasing the CBS, this is going to be probably the last time. We don't envision brewing this beer ever again. And we were talking about bands that do the last tour multiple times the other day, right? It was a little bit of that, but it did come back. I don't know how long it was gone before it came back.
Yeah.
A couple years.
Yeah. And then this was part of their like barrel age series that they do, right?
I don't know. When you read the description now, and I don't know this for a fact, it says aged in bourbon barrels with maple syrup. Mm. And what it used to say was aged in maple bourbon barrels, right? Which is a bourbon barrel that's then been used to age maple syrup.
Yeah. Yes.
And then they used it for the beer.
So maybe, presumably there's a limited supply of maple bourbon barrels, right?
Yeah.
So maybe now they're like, okay, we could probably just add maple syrup to the bourbon barrel.
Yeah.
I don't know that for a fact, but it seems like maybe that was a factor in it coming back.
I can imagine that being a more like cost-effective way of brewing this. Yeah.
Yeah, having experience with those barrels, they're just so caked in crystallized sugar on the outside too, because it just goes everywhere and dries, you know.
Are you talking about maple bourbon barrels?
Maple.
Okay.
Yeah. So they'll take the barrel that was used for bourbon and then for making bourbon barrel aged syrup, and then you put beer in after that, you were saying for the original.
Sure.
But when you get that barrel that has just had maple syrup in it, it's just a disaster of crystallization.
And it's on the outside, on the inside, everywhere.
It's everywhere. Yeah, is crystallized sugar.
It's just designed to be a sticky mess. Are bourbon barrels, are those still high in demand? I mean, I've heard the old stories of, you know, distilleries just saying, like, please someone take these barrels off our hands. And now
Because they're one use by, that's the regulation,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Right, yeah, it has to be a
But in beer, you can oak, you can use yeah. them like up to three sure. times and okay. still get really valid it's, character.
Yeah. Mm. Does that even soften it as you use it more times where you'd yeah. it's not imparting mm-hmm. quite as much, which may balance out a beer potentially? Because mm-hmm.
a lot of the aging is getting that, well, just like when they age the bourbon for years, with the temperature and humidity changes, you know, the devil's share sinks yeah. into the wood and the evaporation is the angel's share. And you get a lot of that devil's cut back, you know, like the first time you use it. And if you get some temperature swings, every time you have that, you know, basically it's like wringing out the barrel,
yeah.
you know, into what you've got in there.
Interesting. So. Interesting.
Lip, unless you have an old gypsum mine.
Yeah.
There you go.
To keep it a solid 50 degrees yeah. or something down
True
there.
True story.
Well,
this is a delicious
Great
beer.
Success.
Man, yeah, it's been a good morning.
It's nap time.
This yeah. is my ideal start to the day, I'll tell you what.
Yeah. But I tell you, I think we had some great pairings. And yeah. I think, you know, this bacon maple long john with CBS.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's a winner.
Really yep. good.
It really,
really
is.
Good.
Yep.
The Boston cream with the KBS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice and even maybe notes. The you know the peanut cake with the sour
I,
with the
I like
jolly
that.
Pumpkin.
I thought it yeah. was a nice mix.
Well, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Coming on the show, yeah. Nick. If you guys want to, you know, dig into the wealth of knowledge that Nick has to offer, you know, check out your blog, yep. Breakfast with Nick, right?
Breakfastwithnick.com, yep. and then Breakfast with Nick on all the social medias.
Right. And I mean, as someone who does a blog, to have a blog that's 17 years old, that's like a 1,000 years old in human yeah. years, basically. I mean,
that was before Facebook was
yes,
a thing.
Yes,
I just,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man,
is it still got all the momentum it did? And yeah.
Yeah. It's I mean, it's obviously grown and changed over the years and had some nice redesigns.
It's gotten better. Yeah. You've really got a nice page. I was looking at it this morning,
Nice.
You know, knowing you're coming over and
Yeah, the folks from Wonderly, which is a studio here in Columbus, they've done the past two redesigns, and
Cool.
do fantastic work.
No, it looks really sharp. Yeah. I mean, I don't go to your website that often.
Why not?
I'm normally clicking out. You know, I'm seeing you on social media,
yeah.
and I click out directly to the article, so I'm not like perusing like if you hit the homepage.
Yeah.
But no, it looks sharp.
Yeah, nice. Thank you. Yeah, it's got a lot of good resources on there. Pretty proud of it.
Also on travel. And there's also beer articles.
There's family stuff. There's a lot of different things on there. It's kind of anything. I mean, my name's on it, so it's anything I want to write about goes on there now.
That's right. You got the license. No need to get another site.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Get on there. Get that Dutch baby recipe.
that's on there. That's really good.
And now Breakfast Stouts with Nick.
Yeah.
The new blog.
There we go.
Cheers.
Right. Cheers.